Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey, man, we're going to talk to our man, Connor Riley, about the Dogs. We'll get back to your Falcon calls, guys, about 4:20. So I don't want you to waste your minutes. So we'll open up the phone lines a little bit. A lot of passion. One thing we said earlier, real quick, before we talk Dogs, is accountability. And a lot of folks, and I played a soundbite a couple times, Rob, as Rob triples in for Carl, about, you know, Raheem Morris owning it. You know, I screwed up. We should have done something different, as opposed to the logic of trial. We get the line of scrimmage, you faster, make any sense. Torrey McElhaney, who covers the Falcons for Falcons.com, Coach Morris talking to the media about 5 minutes ago. I can take the criticism. It's fair. I understand it. Quote, I apologize to our fans for not getting it done, but we'll get it done soon. So, I mean, it doesn't help us with the loss and knocking us out of the playoffs if Tampa Bay beats Carolina. I should say beats the Saints. And
It rehabilitates his image in my mind for him to do that.
I wish he would have done
it when he had a chance to do it right after the game, though.
So there you go. So we'll talk more about coach's comments, and maybe we'll get some audio from Joe Patrick, who's up there at the Flowery Branch. Right now, though, time to talk some Dogs. Yeah, man. And are you down in New Orleans, Connor?
That is correct. I was on a late night flight on Saturday that did not land in New Orleans until about 2 a.m. Local time due to some of the weather. But I am here in New Orleans having a good time. I got to talk to the Georgia team today, and it was a very interesting Monday afternoon here in New Orleans.
I always say to Connor, as Rob triples in for Carl, I wish that Connor would embrace the old hard scrabble writer that would, you know, obviously the hard drinking, and I should say hard scrabble, the hard drinking, hard charging writer, like the old days, you know, who just get absolutely schnockered. 24/7.
Too much clean living there, Connor.
Yeah, Connor, I never see you pickled. You're always ready to go, even in New Orleans. So that's professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the sportsbook last night watching that Falcons Washington Commanders game and the way it unfolded. And, you know, may have enjoyed some fun there, but, you know, big day today. Right. Obviously, getting to talk to a lot of players and a lot of people we don't usually get the chance to talk to today.
All right, buddy, let's start with Gunnar Stockton. I saw the video. It looks pretty funny. They're doing their media, and he's talking, and the entire offensive line comes over and says, "When do I get to drive your truck?" Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and this isn't to take anything away from Carson Beck, but there is just a different energy around this entire team since Gunnar has ascended to be the quarterback for this team. I think there's something about his personality, about, you know, his roots, his upbringing, that these guys just sort of easily relate to and buy into. And it's a credit to Gunnar, and it's a credit to Kirby Smart for, I think, rallying around him. I don't think Gunnar Stockton is a better quarterback than Carson Beck. But he absolutely changes the dynamic and the feel around this team. And look, they've got to go out there and do it against Notre Dame in a college football playoff spot where Gunnar Stockton is going to be making his first start since November of 2021. But they absolutely believe that this is a guy that is capable of winning not just this game against Notre Dame, but ultimately a national championship.
All right, Connor, you the national media, they're all about Notre Dame. Bad draw for Georgia. Notre Dame is college football's most complete team. Where's the decided advantage for Georgia? This is not who Kirby Smart wants to play in this game. Kirby feeds off this. He uses it, doesn't he? I know he doesn't ignore it. He does feed off of this.
He's absolutely eating this up. I think there are, interestingly, a lot of national media types that are jumping on this Notre Dame team. They're saying, oh, you know, they've really rebounded since that Northern Illinois game. Notre Dame has played one college football playoff team so far this season. That is Indiana, who, just quite frankly, is not a college football playoff talent caliber team. They belong to get in the field. That's great. From a talent perspective, they are not one of the best 12 teams in college football. This is easily going to be the best team that Notre Dame has faced to this point in the season. For Georgia, I think Texas is better than Notre Dame. I think Ole Miss is a better team than Notre Dame. I think, you know, in terms of talent, I think Alabama is a more talented team than Notre Dame. So this is going to be something where Georgia's played in games like this before. It's the biggest game Notre Dame has played in probably a while, probably since that 2020 college football playoff game where they got skullrunned by Alabama that year. For Georgia, this is just another game, and it's a game where they get to play that underdog card, and I'd point out this year, they're just 2-0 when they were an underdog, and you know we'll see where they finish in terms of point spread and line and things like that. But they are eager to be the underdog in this game, and you've seen in years past. You think back to the 2022 Tennessee game, they thrive in this position.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was driving back from Florida, listening to that game with Indiana, and driving down there, I should say, against the Irish. Kirk Cignetti, they went to a shell. They talk about Indiana's special teams. They didn't do anything. They didn't kick, return, anything. And they didn't really get into the juice that you're used to seeing the Hoosiers play with until like, the game was over. I would think, Connor, what shows what Georgia may be able to do, provided Gunnar Stockton has his receivers catch the ball, is how Jaden Maeva and USC lit them up, scored 35 points in the Coliseum against Notre Dame.
Right, and USC is the most athletic team that Notre Dame had seen at that point in the season. And while I don't think Georgia has the same caliber of receivers that USC team does, it's still a very complete football team. And offensively, I wasn't exactly blown away with what I saw Notre Dame do against Indiana. And Georgia's defense, for as inconsistent as they've been at times this season, I think is still significantly better than what Indiana has been. So it's a game where I think Georgia has the talent edge. I think they've got the coaching edge. And while, yes, you give Notre Dame, I think, the quarterback edge in this game and what they have, I still think that this is a really good Georgia team and one that I think is ultimately going to find a way to win on Wednesday night.
All right, Connor, two-parter for you. Tell me about Gunnar Stockton as a human being. What is he like? And also, I know Georgia offensively is not going to reinvent the wheel, but what are they going to do to make sure that Gunnar Stockton is successful?
Yeah, so Gunnar Stockton, the person, you know, off the field, quiet, reserved, nice, just all around sort of all-American clean kid, you know, drives the 1984 Ford F-150, a throwback to you know, an era, you know, as someone who drove like a 1995 Ford Explorer throughout high school and college, I certainly get and can appreciate that. But when he steps on that field, he is not going to help pick you up when you get knocked over. He's going to try and run over you and then say something to you as he walks back to the huddle. He absolutely has that dog in him. I think it's a big reason that he resonates with teammates, where he's a great guy off the field, but on the field, he's absolutely someone you want on your team. As far as how this offense looks and how this offense changes, you saw them sort of do it on the fly in that game against Texas, moving guys around, relying a lot more on this running game, you know, using your tight ends and getting them involved, and that's then simplifying this offense. I think with the time that they've had, look at how Georgia Tech used Haynes King specifically in that game against Georgia. Then I'm not saying Georgia's going to run Gunnar Stockton 24 times because that's not sustainable. Georgia's ultimately got to try to win two more games after this one potentially. But how Georgia Tech used Haynes King, how Buster Faulkner designed that offense for Haynes King, I think there's some similarities there with what Gunnar Stockton can do and rep that into this offense.
That sounds great because we know the receivers have been a mixed bag at best. Rob was talking about, you know, getting lucky and Delp, get the tight ends involved. Aside from that, as Connor Riley, guys, joins us from Dog Nation, K. Connor Riley on Twitter, you follow him. Do you feel there's any kind of something, I don't know, some secret sauce that Mike Bobo tries to throw in this one?
I'd be really honest, because we've seen some big games this year, first play of the game, they take a deep shot to Arian Smith, and it hasn't always worked out. You know, either the pass wasn't accurate or Smith couldn't haul it in. I would love to see him do something like that in this game against Notre Dame, just to say, hey, we know we've got a different quarterback. It doesn't impact us at all. We're still Georgia, and we're still going to go out there and do what we always do. I think Bobo deserves some credit for how he fixed that offense in the second half, given just how poor they played in the first half with Carson back. And so, look, the offense, it's going to have to look a little bit different because it's going to have to be tailored to Gunnar Stockton's skill set. But it's a guy that has known Gunnar Stockton for a long time. Stockton originally committed to Mike Bobo when he's the offensive coordinator at South Carolina. If there's anyone that is capable of drawing up a game plan and knowing what the strengths and weaknesses of Gunnar Stockton are, it's Mike Bobo. And you can bet that this is going to be a big game for him to get the most out of this quarterback.
All right, let's look at some of the other games. Do you think any upsets are looming on the horizon with the other games? Where an upset could take place?
I'm very interested in that Boise State-Penn State game. And I know Penn State wiped the floor with SMU. SMU threw two pick sixes in that game, and that just sort of made it a non-starter from that point in the first quarter. This is the Boise State team. Look, everyone knows about Ashton Genty, and he's a great running back. He's the best player in that game. And Penn State's going to gear everything they can to try and stop him. But the Boise State team has 52 sacks on the season. They're going to get after it. And I haven't been all that impressed this year with this Penn State offense. And yes, they blew out SMU. Great for them. Their two best performances this year still came in games that they lost, admittedly to other college football playoff teams in Ohio State and Oregon. And so it's a Boise State team that is rested, that has some significant program history in that building in the Fiesta Bowl, where they famously knocked off Oklahoma. I'm very interested to see what that game looks like. And if that turns into a four-quarter game, I think that favors the underdog Boise State there.
I know that the Oregon-Ohio State game was one of the best games, most entertaining games of the season. Do you feel that Ohio State, they finally, you know, shook off the ghost of the Michigan loss, and that all of a sudden they look like a team that can beat Georgia or hang with Georgia and can beat Oregon?
Absolutely. I think that Ohio State game, especially against Tennessee, showed that Ohio State's A game is the best in the country. And when they play like that, I don't know if there's anyone out there that can beat that. But I also think we've seen enough from this Ohio State team to know that they're not going to play that A game three more times this season. And so they're going to have to find a way to win when they don't truly play their best. And if these games get tight at the end, like you saw against Michigan, like you saw against Oregon early in the year, this team just kind of puckers up. And so it's an Ohio State team that is a bit of a front runner. And so I'll be interested to see what happens when they get dragged into a four-quarter game. Because I'll tell you this, you know, that Georgia team, total opposite. No one here is pretty, doesn't have the athletes on the outside like a Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State does. But, it'd be interesting if we get a chance to see those two teams play. You get a Georgia team that has just been in so many knockdown, drag-out brawls over the course of the season and has found a way to win more of them than not. Take on this Ohio State team that has some questions, I think, about the mental toughness and what they're able to overcome.
Connor, you think they're going to do anything to maybe tweak the college football playoff? Look at college basketball. Just because you win your conference championship does not mean you're going to be a number one seed in a regional. What tweaking do you think will take place to avoid the blowouts in the first round?
I do. I think you're going to see them go from top four conference champions get the bye to just top four seeds get the bye. I don't know when that happens, though. They could change it before the 2025 season. It's important to note that the current playoff structure is only agreed to through the 2026 season. And so perhaps most realistically, that might be when we see those changes there. My bigger thing, though, and look, I think you're always going to see some blowouts in this format for a couple of reasons. Like you look at the NFL, there are going to be wild card blowouts just because I think that the quality and team in some of those games that are being played are just a little bit different. And in college football in particular, the not-so-dirty little secret in my mind is that there's maybe really only seven or six teams each year that have the talent capable of winning a national championship. And some of those teams are just by nature going to have to play in that first weekend. You saw, I think, Texas do that. I think you saw Ohio State do that. They fit that national championship program, and they're just playing teams that aren't capable of doing that. And I think more often than not because of the structure or anything like that, but just the way college football is, you're going to see some mismatch games in those first round moving forward. So unless you want to go to like an 8-team playoff, I just sort of think that's the reality of the situation.
I bet Clemson to cover, and that didn't happen. I'm going to bet Arizona State to cover. I just feel Texas is soft and physicality, and I think they're going to get scatabooed here at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. Do you feel that Texas is going to handle their business against Arizona State pretty handily?
I'm excited to watch that game because like it's an Arizona State team that there's just a toughness about them, and they've been playing super well down the stretch. And look, that Texas defense is legit. I think it's the best defense in the country, in my opinion. But there's just something about that offense where they're a little bit off. And I know they ran the ball great against Clemson. We'll see what they're able to do against Arizona State. But I like the swagger that Arizona State program plays with. And I don't think they're going to be afraid or intimidated by Texas coming in there. And so it's going to be interesting. I think similar to that Penn State-Boise State game, you know, what happens if that game turns into a four-quarter game and what does Texas look like? Because we've seen against Georgia, you know, they may not be able to do that. But Arizona State, I do not think it's the same quality of program that a Georgia is right now.
All right, real quick, we got about 20 seconds. A heavy, steady dose of Trevor Etienne coming up on New Year's night?
I think you see that there. Maybe you mixed in Nate Frazier, but I think you see with what he did in that second half of the Texas game, this is a game where I think he now becomes the most important player on this Georgia team, and they need to find a way to keep him going and get him big reps.
Have you had any fried oysters yet?
I did not have fried oysters. I had some yellowfish tuna last night and then some lobster bisque here at dinner. So looking forward to some more seafood tonight.
Can't argue with that right there, man. All right, brother, have a great time there in the Big Easy. Connor, we'll talk to you next week.
Yep, see you guys.
That's our guy, Connor Riley from Dog Nation. All right, guys, your chance to fire up again. We did get Coach Ra to say something a lot of us fans of the Falcons were hoping he just said last night. Taking accountability for the loss. Talking to the media today, whether somebody in the organization got in his ear about this or this was just, you know, introspection and felt, okay, I got to come clean. We'll talk about it, Rob. Talk to you guys. 404-726-0929. I mean, some guys are saying we're being a little too hard on the Beaver. I said, no, man, this is your. He's not a rookie coach, Rob.
A Beaver's meant to be hard upon.
It's a reference from a TV show in the 50s for kids listening at home. Rob Tribble. We'll come back. Take your phone calls, guys. Falcon fans, hey, where you at? I'm like beyond apoplectic about last night. Yeah, baby. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope you're having a massively awesome Christmas and Hanukkah. Hope you got everything you wanted. I got myself a little something on Saturday. More on that coming up in Guy Talk.
Just a little something.
A little something, something. Man. Falcons fans, you know it. You've lived it. Robbie's been living it since the 70s. I got on the misery train in 1998. 26 years for me. Oren, his whole life in Atlanta, been a Falcon fan. Guys that go all the way back to Fulton County and beyond. We've been there. One of the things real quick before we get to your phone calls at 404-726-0929. There are multiple things that happened last night. We couldn't tackle. There was a big penalty. But I just think we've seen refs not call that penalty on D'Angelo Malone because it's incidental contact and guys are both smacking into each other. But they did, and it just sustained a drive. They were dead. That would have been 4th and 23.
Yeah.
But they keeps them rolling. They being the Commanders, they keep on trucking. The other thing that came up is obviously not being more aggressive and trying to get 6 before halftime and then not being more aggressive with the clock and give your quarterback a chance to get better field position because you don't have Koo out there. As bad as Koo has been this year, you got a journeyman who won't be here next year couldn't hit anything for 56.
Was it a 58-yarder Koo hit to win that?
Yeah, he's had some big ones, but it is frustrating.
A healthy Koo.
Yeah.
We're getting some kind of bits and pieces of this press conference right now out there in Fly Branch. I think they're doing the Zoom remote today, so hopefully Joe will send some sound down. But after Rob was asked about the timeouts, here's a quote that Taryn Wack has on her Twitter feed from Rob. As simple as you make it seem, it's not. When you hear Rob say something like that, what kind of goes through your head, I guess, of the decision-making process from last night and how we're kind of taking it in today? It's simple, like it does seem pretty simple, though.
It's
like,
pretty simple.
I mean, it's simple enough that, like, for instance, I've got friends and you've got friends, Rob. People aren't even Falcon fans. I got buddies from L.A. last night going, what the F is your coach doing? It's pretty simple, Ra.
My buddy Bill from L.A. did the same thing. He's a Lions fan.
My buddy Walt works for Miller here in Atlanta. Same thing. He said he got a buddy who's a Steeler fan. What the F is your coach? Literally, is your coach doing? We had Eric, a friend of ours, works in sales. He's at a bar last night. What the is going on? No. Make things harder on your rookie quarterback. That's brilliant. Mooney catches the ball, call a timeout. I know you want to save one for the field goal, get the field goal unit out there. You maybe have to throw the ball in the middle of the field. You got to be able to pivot. If you're so locked in that Mooney's going to catch it and get out of bounds.
But if you call the timeout, you can run two more plays.
Correct.
You're worried about using the last timeout.
I mean, you blew at least two, maybe three plays.
It is easy, Rod.
It is. Now, Rod did take accountability. Torrey McElhaney from Falcons.com. Raheem says, I can take the criticism. It's a fair critique. I understand it. He said, I apologize to our fans for not getting it done, but we'll get it done soon. But again, you blew it. You didn't give your quarterback a chance to give your horrible kicker, your journeyman, a better shot. I mean, to give a guy who's been on 4 teams in 3 years a 56-yarder, I think that's your best. You blew it. So I'm cool with the second piece of audio. I'm not cool with the first one. It is simple.
It is simple.
I mean, you've made something very difficult for a rookie quarterback who, yes, made some mistakes in this game, missed some wide-open receivers, but also converted 2 fourth downs and also got Kyle Pitts involved, threw a freaking dart, a laser, into Pitts in traffic to tie the ball game.
You know what he just did? That soundbite right there, that great philosopher that we all know and love, Randy McMichael, has famously said, football's easy. Coaches make it hard.
Yes, period.
There you go.
We've seen it. Let's go to the phones. A lot of guys are fired up. Also, I'm going to play a soundbite from Grady because Grady always gets it. But first, let's go to Big James. Hey, man, you're on 92.9 The Game. What you got, man?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Oh,
man.
He's got his radio on.
He's got his radio on. Oh, you can hear me in the back?
Yeah,
hello, let me turn it down.
Oh, man. Jeez. You know, man.
Hey, man.
All right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's a 15 yards. You had a delay a game. That's 5. Let's go. What do you got?
Hey, great game, though. Great game. Like we was talking about, that D'Angelo call was horrible. I felt like we was about to put our foot on their throat and take their soul when that was going on. But it was a great game, but the time management is horrible. From the first half to the second half, I don't know what he was thinking. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what was the plan? And I can't come up
now
with
he
nothing.
Choked.
But it was a great game.
James, we talked about it, man. They really got after him. I thought it was one of the best games for Matthew Judon. Then conversely, Judon also, you know, you set the edge on the run or contain for the quarterback. It's kind of both for a running quarterback. But They basically pivoted their plan. Cliff Kingsbury, they took T.J. Think about T.J. A.J. Terrell. Took McLaurin completely out of the game.
Yep.
And so all of a sudden, Alamide freaking Zaccheaus looks like Jerry Rice against us or Steve Smith and is able to just keep moving the chains. But they started running Jaden Daniels. And every time we'd move our guys up the field in pressure, we'd overlap and then just go right underneath it, wasn't it? Frustrating. We got Michael's out there. Hey, Mike, you're on 92.9 The Game. Hey, man.
Hey, brothers. Good to listen to you on the show. Hey, you guys are always on point. Even though with the time management and the guys, you are right on with that. Let's go back to that third quarter, because the third quarter really is when we got ourselves put out the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This team knew, the coaching staff knew, when we were going on this road, the Giants game was a playoff game. You got prepared for that. Then you knew you was going on the road to play this team. You went up 17-7, okay? You're in the halftime. You know Dan Quinn is a defensive coordinator who's going to make adjustments. So you know with Bijan getting 82 yards in the first half and you got a rookie quarterback, let's stop Bijan the second half. You could have made adjustments with some short passes.
Right.
You could have did some dump offs, so anything to try to keep that offense moving, because you know you don't have a top 10 defense. And let's go back to the defense. This defense, we could talk about again the time management. But that third quarter defense, you knew better. You had a 10-point lead.
Right.
You knew you needed this. You knew that Tampa Bay lost earlier. And you still let them have not one, but two long drives that just depleted the team. Mm-hmm. You lost this game defense, and you've been playing up and down all year. You haven't been consistent. And we need to address that during this offseason, because with Penix there and we got this time with this young man, we need to make sure that we have a top 10 defense
that
goes along with him.
Hey, by the way, you're channeling your inner Stephen A. at the end. I thought that was some good takes. We talked about the unfortunately, the D'Angelo Malone pass interference. That was a backbreaker. That was a 3rd and 23. You'd have gotten them off the field. They had 2 7-minute drives, 14 minutes time of possession, to your point. And getting back to what I think you were aiming at, we said it earlier if you missed it, Zach Robinson, you know they're going to try to stop Bijan. You've got to go play action. Arch is screaming for it on the radio broadcast. We run it on that first down, get pushed back behind the sticks, and then that was it. So we basically burned up less than 2 minutes, and they're right back down the field on us, Rob.
I wonder how much the first half was fool's gold because of all the penalties for Washington.
Well, they did commit some penalties, but I thought that
But
we also were able to get the quarterback at least off balance and on the ground.
Five sacks last time.
We missed too many tackles, brother, to Michael's point. Yes, my man. Hey, man, let's go to real quick. Evan's out there. Eve, hey, man, you're on 92.9. What you got?
What's going on? I was about to say the same thing. Did Stephen A. just call in? First things first, I think that all of us are in agreement that the overtime rules need to be the same for postseason and regular season. Yes.
Right. Agree. 100%. Makes no sense.
Yeah, so get that out of the way. But second off, we're also on the same page with – it's all on coach for that time management. But everyone might be going a little over the top calling for his head already. Like, for other teams in all sports, when coaches get fired after 1 year, I kind of just roll my eyes. Like, he's got to have a chance to settle in and get things rolling, right?
Well, here's the thing. I think it's first off, he's never going to get fired by Arthur. Arthur Blank's not going to fire a guy after 1 year. So we said this to start the show, right?
Not gonna happen.
That's an impossibility. I think what you're getting from the audience, whether it's social media, it's just born of frustration because it just feels a lot like Dan Quinn and Arthur Smith. And if you feel that Raheem Morris can't do the job, and a coach who's a veteran handles pressure situations the way he handled that one, we're going to have to deal with him for another year. And I think Falcon fans are starting to project this is going to be a lost season already. We're already thinking, well, he's blown it. We didn't make the playoffs. Again, you need the Bucs to lose to the Saints. Guys, they're starting Spencer Rattler or another backup. The Bucs are not going to lose that game. We can beat Carolina by 50. It won't matter. We're going home. So a lot of folks, I think that's where the trepidation, the dread is that Raheem is a poser. He's a fast talker. People's words, not mine. I'm just reading off of social media and feeling that we're going to be stuck with this, and is he going to learn from this? Well, it's not like he's a rookie coach, Rob. He's been there before.
He's been in the league for 25 years.
And Zach Robinson, I think we could all agree there's some things he needs to improve upon. Some of these things were beyond his control, like when Kirk Cousins started to just basically lose all his skills and it became one-dimensional. Real quick before we catch a break, a guy that always takes responsibility, here's Grady Jarrett talking to Fox 5 after the game last night in D.C.
I'm going to say it again. Control what we can. You know, I mean, you can wish all day on somebody, but it ain't. We put ourselves in a situation. You know, we was this close to controlling our destiny, and we let it slip. And that's the reality of it. We got to let it hurt. We got to let it burn. The game started the season. That could have went our way. That didn't. That put us in this position. But we still got breath. You know what I'm saying? And we got to go out there and do what we got to do.
That's it. Unfortunately, as we said, the Bucks win. It's over.
I guess the best part of this whole thing is the fact that I like consistency and stability in my life. Yet again, my final Falcons flyover will be devoted to thinking about the draft. And what needs to be reshaped on this roster.
Because that's the thing.
So I got that going for me.
No, I mean, you know, I
consistency,
paid,
stability.
I paid for my season tickets. I mean, this is one where my wife, I know, I can tell you right now, Becky's going to be like, you want to go to the game? Yeah. You want to go to the game?
No.
No, you can still do the Falcon flyover. We're going to go to the game with me next Sunday.
Oh, I'll go with you. Yeah, right. I'll go with you. Maybe you're just going to, no. Yeah, I'll go with you.
All right, sure. Man. And you got to leave a little early to get back to the station, but.
No, I'd do it at Insignia. I'll be right there at Insignia. I'm good to go, man.
You know what? Maybe leave at halftime. Go get some cocktails.
Why
get
not?
A head start.
Why
what?
Not?
That's a great bar, by the way. The Nest at Insignia. Is that where you're going to be?
Oh, yes. Nest on 4. Trip
will be there on Sunday. And again, it's all over but the shouting unless the Saints shock the world. We'll come back. Some guy talk. A lot of folks, and we'll keep the Falcon conversation going, guys. A lot of folks killing Cam Ward. Should you lose your cool over a guy bailing out of the Pop-Tart Bowl? We'll talk about it next. Where to play is play. Thanks to Oren today, producer and engineer in the program. We'll be back, by the way, Thursday. We have New Year's Eve and New Year's Day off, but we got plenty of college football for you, of course, right here on 92.9 The Game. But Thursday, Robin is in for Carl. We will get to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. He's already answered his more questions today, taking accountability, saying that, yes, he wished he could have done it differently, made a mistake. But a lot of equivocating last night, and a lot of folks were like, come on, man, just own it. And then Oren found another soundbite, which kind of counteracts what he was just saying. Oren, what was that out with that quote you found earlier? Because was this, I mean, again, we don't know the chronology today of the press conference when this was said, but Torrey McElhaney from the Falcons website basically says that he did say, and this is something, he doesn't make anything different about the outcome, but at least he's owning it, saying, look, I can take the criticism. It's fair critique. I understand it. I apologize to our fans for not getting it done, but we'll get it done soon. And we've gone round and round. There's blame for Zach Robinson with that the play calling we thought in the one possession they did in the third quarter.
That was after their first long drive.
Yeah. Terrible tackling. I thought Jimmy Lake needed to tighten things up. You had to see what they were doing. They was like letting them. They were just letting Jane Daniels run. You know, A.J. Terrell was doing a great job taking away McLaurin. Here, what is it, Oren? What you got?
As simple as you make it seem, it's not.
But it is.
It is.
Sometimes it is simple.
And yes, a football game, there's a number of factors that come into it. The call, the ref decide to call something that happens almost on every play between linebackers and tight ends and everything else down to D'Angelo Malone. But they called it because it happened. There was contact. And we do shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties. Hell, Dahlman couldn't get the snap right last night. Luckily, Bijan able to fall on the snap, and then Penix is still able to convert.
That said a lot about Penix right there. You can say everything about how he missed Bijan on that that go route where he was wide open, missed Drake London in the end zone. The fact that he could come back and make that throw on fourth down to tie the game.
Unbelievable. That's why
composure right there.
And that's why, you know,
you've got to recognize that.
I just felt that, you know, if you see Penix, and you're seeing Bo Nix, you're gonna take your lumps. Bo Nix struggled in the beginning of the season.
Yep.
And then he caught fire. And Jaden Daniels made mistakes over the course. He threw a pick last night, but he's electrifying. Our guy is a more mobile version of Cousins. He's a pocket passer that can move around, but he certainly shows you that accuracy. There was times, as we said last night, he was amped up, made some mistakes. But you've also, as Rob said, the clutch and the brilliance. So just draft him and spend all the freaking money on defense.
Yes, thank
that
you
was
wish.
My argument. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's and again, I'll say it, I'll die on that hill. Drafting a quarterback and spending money on Cousins is the stupidest thing in the history of front office in the NFL. It made no sense then. It makes less sense now. And even more less sense is, by the way, when you had a backup, your insurance policy is in place because you did the stupidest thing ever. You paid and you went and got a QB. So you got an insurance policy and you wait too long to cash it in.
You would not cash it in.
That's on management and the coaching staff. So, yes, some teams would fire people. We won't because Arthur doesn't do that. But there is just a sense that this franchise is so dysfunctional. See, I said I wasn't going to get upset. This is supposed to be a fun segment. But there's just a dysfunctionality to this to this friggin' team.
Well, you being upset is fun.
Woosah. All right, real quick. You feel New Year's Eve is for amateurs?
Oh, yes, amateur night.
You're just going to lay low with your special
Absolutely
lady friend?
Am.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll look to get into something, but I don't feel the urgency to dress up and go spend, you know, hundreds of dollars.
No. I mean,
like I used to
when you were younger. Or remember those big parties they'd have at the Hyatt? And remember those Giants?
The big hotel parties, you paid like $200, $300, and it was all you can drink for an entire night.
You know, though? If you couldn't score, like, it's a different time, different place, 20 years ago. But if you couldn't put points on the board, male or female,
right,
you weren't trying. That was an electrified. Those old Giant parties downtown were awesome, man.
I remember the Marriott Marquis. This is late 80s.
Right.
It got so out of hand, they were just throwing stuff. You know how it's an open-air atrium with all the floors going all the way up? People were throwing plants. Somebody threw a Coke machine over.
Whoa!
It became a little dangerous at the Marriott Marquis. But
Steve McMichael at that party, bunch of 85 Bears.
It was nuts,
man. What's going on, man? No, we were talking
earlier. And I danced with the Hare Krishnas at midnight in the streets.
That's so funny, Krishna Hare. Yeah, as you get older, you know, and we're more day drinkers anyway. We got friends coming into town tonight, and regular crew. But yeah, I'm gonna play drums in a band tomorrow night, and all 70s. Looking forward to that. That's a good jam. And then be back at the house by 1. Hardest part, the only thing that sucks is if you're a guitar player, unplug the guitar, put it in a case, you're gone. Drum set, freaking take that stupid thing apart. And the last thing you want to do on New Year's Eve, you're going to put that thing back in the car.
Can't you just leave it there and pick it up the next day?
Yeah, but it's my baby.
Oh, you know? Nobody's going to steal your damn drum set. Just leave it there overnight.
Yeah. I just announced to the world, if you want to grab a drum set, it's going to be I don't know. You're right, but it's just, that's the thing. You're a singer, you just... All right, good night, everybody. Drive home safe. You drummer, you got 20 minutes of taking this stupid thing apart. Anyway, where was I? Hey, man, Orin, so what do you guys got going on tonight, brother, with Little Man? I should say for New Year's Eve.
So I'm going to be here until 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Fun story, yes. Yeah. Got Sun Bowl and then a couple of shows. So I'm hoping to just get out of here because this is a very high traffic area on the weekend. So I'm expecting it to be a little bit packed tomorrow. So hopefully I can get home by 10:30, 10:45. I legit think that wife is going to be sleeping. So we might have a little toast, but she's pregger, so I'll have to drink the alcohol for her.
By the way, you guys.
And watch Ryan Seacrest.
There you go, yes.
Watch the ball. You guys watch more or less bowl games this year?
Less.
Me too.
Less.
These other bowls, that's why you're going to have 16 teams in this thing. They got to prop up these other bowls.
Yeah.
Because things that usually have a little more juice. There's nobody, by the way, well, Miami fans, there is no such thing as Miami fans unless they're winning, because those guys, even this year when they had a decent season, they're just awful people.
Yeah.
But speaking of which, do you make it a mountain or a molehill or a little between on the Cam Ward setting the record and then tapping out in the second half?
Well, guess what? That's what the system is now. That's what it's creating, a bunch of selfish, entitled, young football players. I would have been the same way. I don't necessarily see anything. It was a meaningless bowl game. You've made the bowl games meaningless.
That's true. I mean,
although the Pop-Tart mascot characters are pretty funny, though.
That's the only exciting part of this thing. That stadium, I was down there last year for the season opener with LSU and Florida State. That place, there's nothing to that stadium. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to that neighborhood. There's just, there's really nothing going on. But yeah, they had a rope off the top, the roof. So there's probably like 25,000-30,000 people watching that bowl game. And with Miami in state, just down the turnpike.
Right.
You know, but either way, Iowa State does get the win. What was the record? It was single season passing record? Is that what it was?
Touchdown
record. Which no one cares about.
No one cares about.
Nobody cares. Do you know who the single season passing record holder is?
I couldn't tell. Robbie Bosco? I don't know. I have no idea.
Exactly. Who cares?
Who cares?
And if you know it, you can text it in. Arnold, look it up right now. It's in football. It's never about the individual achievement other than the Heisman. Even the Heisman's been marginalized.
I thought it was agreed upon that he'd play a half and that's it.
Right. But again,
that was agreed upon with his coach and him. Okay.
But the best part, as a Florida State fan, coming off our worst season, since Nixon was president, was watching the Miami players fighting with themselves on the sideline. That was just just perfect. But no, I mean, Rob is right. We've created this system. College football is so broken right now. Eventually, we're going to have some form of a salary cap if this federal judge signs off on it. It may go all the way to the Supreme Court.
Nick Saban should be the college football czar. I agree with James Franklin on that. He needs to have the power to deport, incarcerate, or capital punishment.
Case Keenum is the single season passing
yards
leader. Again, who cares? Nobody. It's in football. It's the result. Yes, they have the Butkus and you have the Bednarik and all these different awards. But no one. I mean, yes, you want your players to win as much hardware to put in the Butts Mirror Building if you're a Georgia fan.
Right.
But to me, unlike baseball, it's more about the team and the end result. Do you
I would
win
still
a championship
take Cam
or not?
Over Shedeur Sanders.
I'm not sold on Shedeur Sanders.
I'm not either.
Yeah. I think it was Nick Wright was on FS1 saying that the Patriots should hire Deion as head coach and get rid of Drake and bring in. I mean, all right.
Stop.
I think that Deion is definitely going to field some offers. The other thing is kind of funny. Belichick, the way that buyout works, I still think he tries to get back in the NFL.
Maybe.
You know, we'll see. A lot of guys today, the argument, I saw it last night, Belichick would never have allowed the game to end the way it did. Well, there's no argument there. Bill Belichick would never do what Raheem Morris did in the end of the first half or the end of the game. But I still wasn't. I was lukewarm on Belichick's third act here in Atlanta. What were you falling on?
I was kind of with you in a way. I heard what you and I, Carl, were talking about, and I kind of agreed with it in a lot of ways. But now, in retrospect, I'm thinking, would we have had that losing streak with him as your head coach? I don't know. Your quarterback would have been what he was, though, but he probably would have benched him quicker and brought in Michael Penix. Maybe. I don't know.
A guy says, quit calling Penix the kid. Call him young man. Lighten the frick up, will you, bro?
Oh, shut up.
Hey, Kenya Robinson, for New Year's, I got something. Here's a resolution. Why don't you lighten up? Okay? Thank you. No, just these things that people get on Twitter. That's another thing. My resolution this year is
pedantic
to get off...
little...
Yeah, is to get off Twitter. But I won't, because you have to for work, and we got to promote the beer and the events and the shenanigans. But I said that. I've given up on that resolution. That's another thing. New Year's resolutions. What a waste of time that is.
We have an ad playing that says that people give them up about 2 weeks into the new year, guys. All the resolutions. 2 weeks.
Right. No, the other thing was, and a lot of guys are saying, it's funny, just coming in on our text line, guys are saying, yes, the same thing that happened for us happened for them. Jimmy says he had a buddy say the same thing who lives in England about what the Falcons, somebody's watching that game over there, like apparently like 4 a.m. Our buddy Mick, the Australian, and he goes, Tiger, for me, I'm an Australian. I was screaming at the television. Yeah, nobody understands it. You'll hear Coach Ra try to explain. Well, in real well, you'll hear Rob with Arch. You'll also hear, who else are the players we've got sound from? It's 520.
Jesse Bates and Michael Penix.
Okay, you'll hear from our quarterback. We'll hear from the young man at 5:20. Hey, man, our Falcon Report is next. Rob is in for Carl today. This hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll be back with Falcon Talk.